The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
It's late one night at the Spanish port of Algeciras, and two fading Irish gangsters are waiting on the boat from Tangier. A lover has been lost, a daughter has gone missing, and so we enter the world of Kevin Barry's third novel, Night Boat to Tangier. Shortlisted for the Booker Prize and now shortlisted for this year's On Post Irish Book Awards, Night Boat to Tangier is getting the recognition it so richly deserves, and the man bearing all these accolades, Kevin Barry, is with me now. Kevin, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Keep going, Pat. That was sounding great there. That was sounding fantastic.
Well, congratulations on all of this glory that's been heaped upon you. Let's go back to the birth of this book, because Algeciras is a place that not many people have been to.
Yeah, I think I passed through first in the early 90s on my way to Morocco, on my way to Tangier. And it's just, it's kind of a beautifully seedy town. There's just this air of seediness and corruption ripe on the air. No, they're lovely people and all the rest of it down there. But there's just something about the town.
But it's
itself.
More Casablanca than Casablanca
it
in
is.
A way.
There's just this kind of gangsterish atmosphere about the whole place. And it just, I remember very little about the subsequent trip to Morocco, but I vividly remember the port of Algeciras. And it's just lodged in the back of my brain for years as a place where you could maybe set a kind of a dark comic fiction, you know.
Did you go back? To refresh yourself then, when you decided this was the setting?
I did. I actually went back twice for a couple of weeks at a time. And strangely enough, I actually wrote a lot of the book where it's set in the ferry terminal. I was going in there every morning, having coffee, having a little glass of beer and just writing lines of dialogue for it. And it was just kind of writing on location almost, you know, as a new way of going at it. And I probably looked vaguely mad because I was kind of looking up around me, looking for my two characters to appear, you know. But it was, they'd cleaned up the terminal, the ferry terminal, a little bit since the 90s, but it still has that lovely kind of seediness on the air.
Yeah.
Down there.
What is it about the maritime environment that almost invites that suggestion of smuggling, criminality, dodginess?
And there's a great kind of dark romance to it all as well. You know, it's crying out to be novelized and to be fictionalized. Yeah. And I love Spain. I go kind of every year in the winter for as long as I can get there, because I just love to get down to the blue sky in January and February. And for years now, I've been trying to figure out, how will I write my Spanish novel? How will I do it? And I couldn't figure out until I thought, what about if I just put two fellas from Cork down in Algeciras? I'd be away in a hack, you know? And we horsed through it then once I got the two lads down there.
Now, many people have already read the book because it's so popular, but perhaps for those who didn't, introduce us to your characters.
Yeah, desperate pair of characters, Morris and Charlie. They're kind of early 50s. They're gangsters, kind of past their best. Back in the day, their business was importing hashish from North Africa to the west of Ireland, which was in its day a
lucrative enough, a nice little
steady
earner.
Trade that went on for a long time. The big problem for Morris and Charlie now is that they're all growing it in polytunnels in the west of Ireland, so they're out of business. what they have heard is one of their daughters is missing in the south of Spain, has run off with the hippies down there. They believe she may be about to pass through. It's funny, a book is always about
waiting for Godot.
Yeah, you can't have two Irish fellas waiting for something without expecting the Beckett references. Yeah. And I've discovered actually it's the easiest thing in the world to get yourself compared to Samuel Beckett. Just put two Irish lads waiting and you're away. But it's I was funny enough thinking about a different playwright as I was writing it. I was thinking a lot about Harold Pinter. I love that kind of air of comic menace that you get in Pinter. He can be very funny and very kind of frightening and scary at the same time, in his early plays especially. And I wanted to get some of that in around Morris and Charlie in the book.
But it is comic at the same time.
I think so. I think everything I write is essentially a comedy. They can be very dark. They can be inky black comedies, but comedic even so. I think comedy is the form that's truest to human experience, the way we get through life. You know, that you always think of that scene outside the Irish funeral, outside the dead house, and people are making wisecracks and having a laugh and making jokes. That's how we respond. That's how we get through. That view of the void opens up and Irish people respond with black humour to it.
Because it's not me that's in the box, basically. That's the realisation.
And we can't deal with reality. So we kind of put jokes on top and tell stories around it. And it's just a very natural human coping mechanism.
If the two lads are lost characters, there are, of course, the characters of two women in the book, Cynthia and Dilly.
Yeah.
And the daughter gone missing, the wife departed.
Yeah, and we learn as the book goes on, we learn quite quickly, it's not too much of a spoiler, that both men had a romantic involvement with Cynthia in the past. It was strange when I started to write the scenes with the women. The book seemed to become real for me. It seemed to come to life. I wrote one morning, I remember, up in my shed in County Sligo. Very quiet little scene where the daughter and the mother are having coffee in Cork City in the Crawford and carrot cake. And the daughter says, "Did you ever see them violent?" And it's just this odd, quiet little scene. But in that moment, I said, this is becoming the real thing. I can see this now as a real story with real repercussions for the characters. And it kind of opened out for me. It's funny, sometimes you write just a couple of sentences, Pat, or a half a paragraph, and it just works like a tuning fork for the whole book. You go, "Ding, there it is. I can hear it now," you know? And you can go back and refer to that passage, and you kind of have the tune or the melody of the book. And
When you were sitting in the ferry terminal in Algeciras,
looking half mad,
looking around, you know, and when people keep on turning up the same place, you know, they should have taken a bus, a train, or a boat. They should be gone,
yeah.
But they're not. They're there the next day and the next day. So I'm sure they were casting a
suspicious glance, but all sorts goes on at the Algeciras ferry terminal.
Yeah. But I'm just wondering, could you actually see the nefarious characters? I mean, could you detect the dodginess of what was going on?
Yeah, there's a lot of police work going on around there all the time. You have the helicopters flying over and back. Of course, the big dark story that's going on at that part of the world now is the people smuggling that's going on. And that's a large focus, as much as the drug trade that's still extant there and everything else. But it's, writers home in on these zones of conflict, you know.
It's the most extraordinary part of the world because, to borrow again from Michael Caine, not many people know this, but... Yeah. There's a bit of Spain in North Africa.
There is, Ceuta. Yeah, yeah. And there's also, it's very interesting to me, I was thinking a lot about our great filmmaker Bob Quinn out in Connemara, who made that great series in the 80s called Atlantean.
Yeah.
And it was about that age-old trade from the west of Ireland down the western seaboard of Europe and down to sort of North Africa. And Bob brought up all sorts of links and things like Shannon's singing. And it's funny, you know, it was easier to get down to Africa than it was to get across land to England in those days. So it's a very traditional route. And the characters in the book, Morris and Charlie, consider themselves very much of this tradition, this kind of piratical tradition up and down the western coast of Europe.
It's actually extraordinary to think of the call to prayer that you might hear from the turret of a mosque and compare it to Shannon's singing.
It sounds the exact same.
It does sound the exact same, even though one is a prayer and the other is perhaps a lament.
It's very interesting that series Bob did in the 80s, Atlantean, tracing all that stuff. It comes up a lot when you talk to other writers and artists. You know, people really remember it from when they saw it when they were young and stuff. I think Bob still sells the DVDs of it off his website, so you should go and have a look.
What does it mean to a writer to have a Booker nomination?
It's very busy. There's a lot more noise associated.
I mean, do you have to do promo after promo after promo?
There was a lot, yeah. Like, I'd been around book prizes before, but this one has an intensity of kind of attention to it, which is fantastic, you know, for the book. But it does keep you busy for a while as well. But it's great. It keeps things going around, and it really helps it.
Now, the book itself, I mean, it seems to have cinema beckoning, you know.
Yeah.
Because even as you describe Algeciras and the bus shell, I can see it. It's a cinematic vision I have, and that comes across from the pages of the book.
Oh, I don't think I'm finished with Morris and Charlie. I am about to start on a film script for it as well. It very very obviously, as even as I was writing it in the first instance, I thought there could be life in these two for actors, you know. So watch for white smoke, as they say.
Yeah, I mentioned this is your third novel. Yeah. And, you know, you've been writing for a while. When was your first published?
First book of stories came out in 2007.
So stories and novels.
There's been two books of stories and three novels, as well as kind of screenplay and a couple of plays.
So you're ever busy.
I kind of keep going. I think I have a bit of a guilt complex that I didn't work hard enough at my writing in my 20s.
I thought you were going to say you didn't do work at school.
Yeah, because I was doing lots of journalism and I was having a good time. I was out in the town. So I do work very hard now. And when I'm at home in Sligo, I go to it 7 days a week. I go into the shed and I lock myself in there for 3 or 4 hours every morning. So it's, yeah. So
very disciplined in that
sense.
I am
very disciplined now. And I wasn't when I was younger. So I think to kind of pay back for that, I kind of work
a guilty conscience.
Now. Absolutely, you can't beat it.
So, besides the screenplay that may emerge shortly, what else?
I'm just about kind of finishing a third collection of stories, which will come out about next September, October, I think. It's called That Old Country Music.
That old country music. Well, the current book is called Night Boat to Tangier, nominated for the Booker Prize 2019 and also a nominee for the Unpost Book of the Year. It's published by Canongate. It's in hardback and it's in all good bookshops now. And it's author Kevin Barry. Thank you very much, Kevin, for joining us.
Cheers, Pat. Thanks a lot.